Welcome back to the Prexy Podcast. My name is Matt McQuarrie, the Communication Supervisor for the district, and you are listening to episode 15, our first episode of the 2022-23 school year. This week, Nicole Uline, our 8th grade social studies teacher from Grant Middle School, is joining us to talk about the 8th grade Washington, D.C. trip coming up on May 16th through the 19th. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you. I appreciate your having me here with you.
No problem. Happy to have you on. So I like to start each episode by getting to know our guests and their journey into education. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in your current position in Marion City Schools.
So I'm not a traditional student, education student. I graduated from college with a bachelor's in sport management. Had always been interested in sports, played college basketball, and so I thought that would be the direction for me. Probably 5 years out of college, I decided, I think I had done some subbing, and so I really enjoyed working with kids and the coaching aspect. So I took that route then, went to OSUM and got my master's in education. And so I think this is my 24th year now. Okay. So I've been around the block a little for a few times.
Before we get into talking about the 8th grade trip details, could you kind of explain why you think this Washington, D.C. trip is so important for our students?
You know, we read about history, and in 8th grade history, it's you know, we're 1700s, 1800s, and it's so disconnected for our kids. But we do talk about the American Revolution and the founding documents for our country, and so it kind of brings history to life when we can take our students to D.C., show them the Declaration of Independence by visiting the National Archives and the Constitution and visiting the White House, and we talk about all of those things in 8th grade social studies. So it makes the connection, I think, clearer for them. I can say we will be seeing this, we'll be visiting Mount Vernon where George Washington lived, and all these people that visited his home. So it kind of brings it to life, which I think is important for our students.
That's like the ultimate hands-on experience, kind
Absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely.
So you've mentioned some of these, but can you talk specifically about what students can plan to see on this trip?
Yeah, there's so many awesome things. The first thing we typically do is, the day that we depart, is go to Gettysburg. We tour the battlefields. We get a guide that hops on our charter bus with us and takes us around. It's not just riding around looking out the window again. We get off the bus. The kids get to walk around the monuments for the different states that represented the Union and even the Confederacy at Gettysburg. There are some that they can walk to the top and get a better view of the battlefield. They can see the cannon, and some are the original cannon, and the guides explain, you know, how many men it took to operate a single cannon. Another really neat thing is the cyclorama. We go into the museum at Gettysburg, and it's a circular room with the painting, the entire battlefield of Gettysburg painted on the wall and on the floor, and it lights up as they're telling the story of this is, you know, on day one, this is where the battle took place. And so you see little cannon lighting up on the wall over here, and as the battle progressed onto day two, there's lighting up a different part of the wall. So it's a neat experience for students to see that. I love Gettysburg. It's an awesome addition to our trip. Another highlight for me is Arlington National Cemetery. We always visit the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. We watch the changing of the guard. And we've, for several years, had four students from Grant present a wreath, lay a wreath at
Nice.
The tomb, yeah, at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. It's a neat experience to see four Grant students all dressed up, walking side by side with the guards, presenting the wreath, standing there, you know, putting their hands over their hearts as another soldier plays taps. The other students are in awe to see their classmates out there. That's an awesome experience. I really enjoy that. We don't get to do that every year because it's a big time commitment. You know, when you have too many timed events, it kind of limits you. But we're trying to get that to happen again this year. Another one of my top favorites is visiting Mount Vernon, George Washington's home. I can only imagine having coffee on his front porch or back porch, overlooking the Potomac River. That's what I envision every year I go there. But we tour his plantation. We go down to the farm. They have an amazing museum there as well. That's a highlight. And then, of course, the memorials. The 9/11 Pentagon Memorial is quite moving. And we talk about those things before we visit. I show him some videos. The Lincoln Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial. The other thing I really always find moving is when we go to the World War II Memorial, we typically see the veterans, you know, that flight that brings veterans mm-hmm. in. And that's a neat experience for our kids to talk one-on-one to a veteran. You know, it's being wheeled around in a wheelchair by another veteran. That's a neat experience for our kids. National Archives, the Declaration, the Constitution. We go to several of the Smithsonians, the African American Smithsonian. We don't get the Holocaust in too often, the Holocaust Museum, but Martin Luther King Jr., FDR, Jefferson, all of those highlights. And then new this year to our trip is we've had to extend the trip one day, and we can talk about reasons why later, but one of the new things, because we're having to extend it, is on the return trip we're going to stop at Manassas Battlefield. Okay. So I'm excited, you know, I've never been there myself, so I'm just kind of excited to see what that's all about. It gives our kids an opportunity again to get off the bus, walk around a little bit, to break up that long return trip. So I'm looking forward to the Manassas Battlefield as well.
And that's brand new this year, you say?
Absolutely, yeah. That's so awesome. I'm excited. One of those places I've personally always had on my to-do list, yeah. And I just haven't gotten it done. So I'm glad we're adding it to the DC trip.
And it's very cool to talk about this because I've been out of school now a couple decades, and I still remember my eighth grade trip and all of the things that you just said. I distinctly remember yeah. it, so it really sticks with people.
And that's what I love to hear. I go to the grocery store, and I'll see students that have graduated, and they'll say, hey, are you guys still doing the DC trip? And we start talking about it and reminiscing. That's important to me. That makes me happy, and that's one of the reasons. It's a lot of work preparing for all of this, yeah. but when I talk to kids that former students that enjoyed it and hear how much they've enjoyed it, it's why I want to keep doing it.
Absolutely. All right, so you just laid out all of the amazing things students will get to see. So how do they register for the trip?
If parents visit the grant website, and with your help, we've posted everything to the grant website, there is a link that says register here. They click on that and then it walks them through how to register their student. Okay. No money is ever sent to Grant Middle School. It is all goes directly to Grand Classroom, which is the student travel company that we work with.
Okay, perfect. And is there a date that they need to do that by?
I usually tell students and families October, working with the travel agency, October, mid-October, the 24th, I think is what we have right now. And that doesn't mean students can't register after that. What happens is we currently have, I believe, 5 big charter buses on hold for Grant Middle School. But by October 24th, if we don't need, if we only have 120 students, that means we only need 3 buses, and so they'll release right. the other 2. So that's the important part. If we have 20 open seats after October 24th, then I can only register 20 more students. So there becomes a limit. But October 24th, if you can get your student registered by then and a deposit made, that guarantees them a seat. After that, I can't guarantee anything. I've tried to stick students in the luggage carriage, you know, underneath, but they tell me that's not legal, so.
Yeah. So, and obviously you mentioned there is a cost with this trip, but the school specifically has fundraisers to help with that cost. So can you explain sort of the fundraiser for the DC trip that students can take part in?
Yes. I typically have 3 fundraisers for students. When students are in the 7th grade, we offer 2 fundraisers. Okay. There is a cookie dough fundraiser. Otis Spunkmeyer is how I refer to it. And that is, actually we're going to have that coming up here in October. And that will be for 7th grade and 8th graders. That's usually a big hit. a lot of money can be made on the cookie dough fundraiser. Okay. Then in the spring, just for the seventh grade, we have a pepperoni roller is what I've done the last several years, pepperoni roller fundraiser. And the reason I can't offer that to the eighth graders is there's just not enough time to turn around to get the money from the company that the students have earned and then to Grand Classroom. So by the time they're eighth graders, they will have participated in the fundraiser, the cookie dough fundraiser twice, and then the pepperoni roller once. Okay. But the cookie dough one is coming up mid-October here, soon.
Perfect. So all of our families out there need to know they can, the year before they're going to go, they can start getting their funds together.
Absolutely.
And then for family members, are they able to volunteer as chaperones for the trip? And if so, how do they do that?
Yeah. Parent chaperones, aunts, we've taken aunts as chaperones. And to do that, and you may even know better than I do, Matt, but they need to, again, go to the Marion City School website. There is a link that takes them to work for Marion City Schools, complete the background check, and then they have to do the background investigation, the BIB background check. Yep. That goes, and then if they can let me know that they have done that, then I can tell the district office to be looking for those okay. parents, and then they let me know when the parents have come back and been approved, and then I can get them on my list. But they also need to register themselves with Grand Classroom as an adult chaperone. So kind of two parts, register like they do their students, but also complete the background check with Marion City Schools.
Okay, perfect. Now, okay, we've gotten students registered, they've done their fundraisers, all that good stuff, and now we're getting ready to depart. So what do our students need to pack for the trip?
Yeah, I usually will have a meeting about a month before the trip with all of the students and parents who have registered, and I hand out a packing list. Some of the most important things are that families have completed their emergency medical forms, and those things are up to date.
Okay.
You know, in case something would happen on the trip. All the hygiene, toiletries, toothbrush, toothpaste. We watch for the weather. I try to give families a heads up on what the weather is going to be like. I've traveled in March, I've been in the snow, I've traveled in October, rain. Going in May, the weather's been a lot nicer. But I've also been there when it's 92, and so we need sunscreen.
Yeah.
Pajamas, everything you need for a hotel room. Comfortable shoes, I think, is probably one of the most important things because we do a lot of walking. I would guess, on average, we walk 6 miles a day.
Wow.
So comfortable shoes, cell phones, because I want kids to be taking pictures of everything. I want them to have those memories. The other thing that I ask is that their suitcases, that they put some kind of a tag on it identifying, there could be 145 black suitcases that
yeah.
are pulled out from underneath a bus at 10 o'clock at night and everybody's just grabbing. So you want to make sure you have your own suitcase. We do a class t-shirt. It's not just for DC, but it's a class t-shirt that we will sell probably in January. And so I ask students to pack that. We will have a group picture in front of the Capitol building in DC. And so it's nice when we all wear that Grant Middle School t-shirt. So I ask that they pack that. And probably the other important thing are medications. Students that are taking a daily medication, they need to plan ahead of time and get a form from me and filled out by their physician.
Okay.
And then I ask families to put only the amount of medication their student needs in a Ziploc bag with explicit directions when they take it, how much they take, whether it's with food or without. And then they'll hand those medications over to the lead teacher on the bus. And I'll go through all of that with families and students. But that, sometimes it takes a couple of days, maybe a week, to get those forms from the doctors. And so we do have to have that on the trip. So I think, and then just the typical water, especially if we're traveling and it's going to be warm.
Right.
Water is important. But most of the other stuff, like Dramamine, kids get motion sickness on
yeah.
those buses. So I typically have Dramamine and ibuprofen, those kinds of things to take along. So I don't want kids to be sick on the trip. So we try to plan right. for those types of things.
And how does it work with the hotel. So do they get to pick who they room with, or how does that work?
Yeah, once we have a list of confirmed travelers, I'll again take the students down to the cafeteria and I ask them to put together a group of four students to a room of their choosing. And if they can have it down to four, that makes my life so much easier. Then I go over those groupings with the principals and the guidance counselors just to make sure there's nothing we need to be concerned about, that the room will look the same as when we leave 3 days later. And so if it's a good grouping, that's who the kids will be assigned to, and then they will travel with one another on an assigned bus. I have, with guidance from the guidance office and the principals, we've had to break up a couple of rooms, and I want kids to enjoy the trip.
Right.
So I always try to put them with at least one of the people that they want to be with. If you don't know anybody else that is on the trip, and then there's another group that has only had two or three people, then sometimes I make introductions and make new friends, hopefully. I think that happens a lot. They make new friends when they're going to be spending extra time together. But on the bus, there's usually 45 kids to a bus, and so again, the rooms, I group rooms, you travel with the same people on the bus, you're assigned a bus. Parents that chaperone, of course, would be on the bus with their students. Last year we had an amazing number of parent chaperones, and so you may not be responsible for counting your student, but you would always be on the bus with your students. So you'll be with your students. So sometimes parents, when they see that they're not chaperoning the group with their kid in it, it's they get upset, or I get phone calls and I'm like, you're still on the same bus. I just need you to count someone else for me.
And what's what's your favorite part about the trip?
I love seeing the kids in a different environment. And they see me in a different environment. Talking about things that we've talked about in class, they're like, oh, I remember this. And that always makes me smile. Yeah. But I like seeing kids outside of the classroom. I would like to take them earlier in the year, because then that gives you've had that opportunity to bond with kids. And I only have 135 students that I see, and there are two other social studies teachers in the eighth grade, so there's a lot of students I don't know. But on this trip, I often get to know those kids. If we went earlier, I'd probably be able to have a carry-on conversation with them in the hallways or outside of my classroom, where right now, they just walk by and I just nod at them. We don't really, we talk, but I do like seeing kids in a different environment.
Will there be another family meeting prior to the trip, which is coming up in May of next year?
Yeah, approximately a month before, 4 to 3 weeks before we actually travel, I'll have a parent meeting with those students who are registered to travel. I'll hand out the packing list, we'll go over the itinerary, we'll talk again about the medications for families and students. And at that point, students may even know who their roommates are, and they will have an assigned seat at a table. They're based on the buses. We typically take three buses, and so students have an assigned seat, which is assigned to a bus, so they'll know where to sit. It's usually about 3 or 4 weeks before the trip that I'll have the parents come in, and they can ask me any last minute questions that they have.
Okay, perfect. What is your favorite thing about working for Marion City Schools?
Again, I think, it goes back to seeing kids that have been in my classroom. It's crazy, so I don't always remember names. I usually remember faces. But it's neat to have somebody out in the community. You're at the grocery store, you're just somewhere, and someone will say, "Hey, Mrs. Uline," and that's kind of fun to reminisce with those kids. I love the peers, the other teachers that I work with. These people, I've been here 24 years and I've seen a lot of faces come and go, but you still keep in touch and you make good friends, and it has become a family. It's not just where I go to work. Some of my best friends are here, and it's a nice community.
Awesome. Well, that's it for this week's episode. I want to thank Ms. Uline for coming in on the podcast today and providing families with all of this great information about the 8th grade Washington, D.C. trip. Our next episode will feature the Career and College Readiness Team at Harding High School, who will talk about the new program. Until next time, I'm Matt McQuarrie. This has been the Prexy Podcast, and we'll let the band play us out.